Welcome, my friends, to Shaking the Salt with Dr. Peppers. At the end of the message, stay tuned if you want to contact me for any reason, including prayers. Thank you, and I'm Dr. Peppers, Shaking the Salt. Here we go. A former student of mine who was in my first hour class when he was a senior came up to me and he said, "Hey, Peppers, could I also come to your before school group called Unconditional Love?" And I said, "Well, of course you can." And he said, "You know, I'm an atheist." And I said, "I didn't know that, but I didn't know that you were a believer either. So I just would love for you to come." And he said, "I want to see if it's real." And I said, "If the faith of these people is real, you mean?" And he said, "No, it's called unconditional love. And I want to see if they would really love me unconditionally, even though I am an atheist." And I said, "You know what? I'll take you up on that challenge. And you just go on in here and tell them and see what happens." Well, as I predicted, I guess, it was very interesting to see that they not only accepted him, but they sought out to incorporate him into more of the things they were doing and more of the fun things and the activities. And it would be great to say, "And you know what? Before the year was over, he was the strongest believer and he was leading others to Christ." And well, it didn't happen that way. As a matter of fact, we have been in touch through the years. And until a couple of years ago, I didn't really know the outcome of what I'll call his name, Mark, because I'm going to use a scripture from Mark. So Mark, through the years, would just kind of check in with me, and he said, "Hey, Peppers, are you still believing Christ?" And I would take that with a grain of salt, and I would just say, "Yes, and you're still not believing?" And he would say, "Yes." And then we'd talk about other things. We were really friends, and we really had a lot of things we wanted to talk about. He was in theater, and I had been a director of plays and musicals at school when I had known him, and I had gone to see him in several productions around St. Louis and had even traveled to where he was in school. So as things progressed through the years, I thought about this more, because I often run into people, whether it's, you know, sitting on an airplane where you're by someone, or whether you meet them through a group, a civic group, or whatever it is. And unless you really get to know that person, even in church, you don't really know if they are a believer or not. I'd like to share with you something that the disciples themselves found out. They had seen Jesus heal people who were sick or dying, and they were confused and shocked and saddened when they couldn't do the same thing. And the funny part about this is it's right after this very interesting travesty has happened, and Jesus was absolutely torn between what he was supposed to be doing. And so the theme in the passage of Mark 9 is where there was a boy who was not able to control his seizures, and his father was with him, and this whole issue may have stemmed from what had just happened. Jesus had returned from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he came up on a large crowd surrounding his disciples, and there was an argument taking place, and people were all stirred up, and you could see the anger and the tension, and Jesus just asked what was going on, and a man from the crowd explained that the disciples had been trying to cast a demon out of his son, but had failed in their attempt. So this man is acknowledging that his son has a demon, and he had asked the disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't. And so Jesus said, "You unbelieving generation, how long must I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" And then he said, "Bring the boy to me." So the boy was brought to Jesus, and when that demonic spirit that everyone else was seeing saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. If you've ever seen the movie The Exorcist, this is the way I picture it. And the boy fell to the ground, and he was rolling around and foaming at the mouth. If you want to read this, it's in Mark 9. And after the boy's father further explained his son's condition, he was probably yelling above the crowd and above the noises his son was making, and he said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, please take pity on us and help us." And Jesus assured the man that everything is possible for one who believes. Now, we didn't know where the man stood with him before, but immediately, maybe just because he wants his son healed, he says, "Oh, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Now, wait, what? He says he believes, but help me overcome my unbelief. And upon hearing the man's request that I believe, help my unbelief, Jesus spoke to the unclean spirit in the boy and permanently cast it out. Later, his disciples asked him, "Why weren't we able to do that? We did the same thing you did." And Jesus said, "This kind can come out only by prayer." That's Mark 9:29. So the main theme in this whole passage is faith and doubt. And when my friend told me he was an atheist, I just assumed that he was saying that he didn't believe in God. But he actually was just saying, "I just don't believe in anything." And yet I saw that he did believe in something. He believed in his disbelief. So I know that sounds kind of, like it's going and beating around the bush, but what it's actually doing is telling me that when people say they are an atheist, even if they say it with strong conviction, I don't believe them. I believe that they believe in something else, or maybe I believe that they don't believe in my religiosity, as they would put it, or even in what some of the Bible says. But most of them do believe in most of the Ten Commandments, or most of them do believe that Jesus was perhaps a real man and a good man. But once you get to the place where something drastic happens in your life, like they say, there are no atheists in foxholes. During the war days in the foxholes, you saw guys praying that had never stepped foot in a church. When somebody is diagnosed with cancer, I've had several of my friends who were non-believers ask me to come pray with them or their loved ones. And that's what was happening here with Jesus and his disciples. And when this man says, "I believe," he didn't say what he believed in. He just said, "Help my unbelief." And that's what I try to do with my friends. I don't want them to join a church or a particular religion. I want them to have joy and peace and family relationships that are good and friendships that are beyond great. And I want them to experience all of the wonderful things that I have come to know in my days since I became a believer in Christ. So there's the hook. Do you believe in Christ? And when I do jail ministry, many of the girls say, "No, I don't." And I say, "Would you like to?" And some of them say, "No, not particularly." And I say, "Well, do you want joy and peace and good friendships? And do you want to be free from addictions? And do you want to get out of this place and do something great with your life?" And everybody would always say yes. And many would say, "But that doesn't take God to do that." And I would say, "Well, I could see that you would say that because that's what I felt." And I share with them my former unbelief, and I ask them to at least be willing to be made willing if it means their life is going to increase such great joy and fruits of the Spirit, like peace and joy and love and kindness and gentleness and goodness and all of those things that I never had that they can now have. And my friend, so can you. So when the man said, "Help my unbelief," I still pray that often. "God, I believe you can heal this, but help my unbelief. God, I believe that you could do this in the life of my friend Mark. Help my unbelief and help his." And that's how I have prayed through the years. And Mark, I'm not going to tell you he's on fire for the Lord, but I will say he is a believer in God, and he does believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Now he's praying to believe that he could die even for him. God, I pray for the one listening right now that has doubts and fears, because we all do. But I also pray for the one who has never been a believer, as I wasn't when I reached out. And so, God, I just pray that according to your will and purpose, you would make known to the one listening what you can do in their life and what you have done to die for them. And I'm asking them to stand forward and say, help my unbelief and help me to be willing to believe that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that includes me, should not perish, but have eternal life. And my friend, if you can believe that and ask him to be Lord of your life, get ready for the greatest gift ever, the gift of abundant life and eternal life. I'm Dr. Pepper, shaking the salt. Thanks for staying on, my friend. If you would like to contact me, visit saltandlightministry.com. If you want to share your story with me, ask a question, have me come speak to your group, or maybe just request prayer. Once again, saltandlightministry.com. Thanks and God bless.